I'm going to read a verse, a single verse that we are all very, very familiar with. And you might have guessed it. It's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. And it says the following in the English Standard Version. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You may be seated. A London businessman was selling a property, a warehouse property, and he was showing it to a potential buyer, a prospective buyer. The building had been empty for a number of years, for a number of months, and it needed repairs. That's because vandals had damaged the door, the doors had broken the windows, and had scattered trash inside. While he was showing the property, he was trying to make sure that the buyer would understand that he will take care of all those problems, that he will get the garbage out of there, he'll get crews to fix all the things that needed to be fixed. But the buyer said something interesting. He said, forget about the repairs. When I buy this property, I'm going to build something completely new. He said, I don't need a building. I need the site. So you see, compared to the improvements that we try to do in our own lives, through our own efforts, the change that God has in mind for us is much, much better. Our efforts and improvements are actually really useless. Because when we become God's children, the old life is over. He makes all things new. And I want to put the emphasis on He. He makes all things new. All He wants is the site and the permission to build. This verse is, like I said, a verse that's very well known to us. And it speaks about that kind of radical change. But isn't this verse strange in a way? It speaks, for example, of being in Christ. What is that? It speaks of being a new creation. What does that mean? And it speaks of things, or other translations say, all things becoming new. Is that really true? Is that really the case? In the past, we have looked at a couple of passages from Romans. And in those passages, we understood that God's salvation and God's gospel is the power for salvation. So the gospel is the power for salvation. And the reason, Paul says, there is a secret why this is so. The reason why the gospel is the power of God for salvation is because in that gospel, which, if you remember, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Belief in that means belief in the gospel. That means that if you believe that message, then you are able to receive a righteousness that's not your own. So you're counted righteous before God. And then we saw that from that we have a number of benefits. A number of great things are true of the believer. We have access to God. We have access into the grace of God. We don't have to worry about the wrath of God. But the question is, what's next? What about after that initial moment when we trust Christ for our salvation? Do we live the same way? Our daily lives, how exactly are they impacted? Do we live like the world does, like the unsaved? Or maybe we try to reform our lives through our own strength. You see, the Bible says that we are to be holy. And to be holy means to be set apart. It means to be separated from the things and the way of the world. And the question is, how do we live holy lives. Perhaps another way of putting it is, what is sanctification? Because after you initially come to Christ for salvation, you enter into a process of sanctification. And this verse tells us a little bit about the new life that we have in Christ. I'd like us to begin to look at it today, and we're just going to start. The verse says, if anyone is in Christ. You see, it's a conditional statement. But what does it mean? Can you visibly see that? Can you see somebody being in Christ? You see, when you place your faith in Christ, several wonderful things actually happen. You may be aware of some, but you may not be aware of all of them. You may, for example, have a direct experience of God when you feel the presence and the power of God. You may not have that, and that's fine too. You may notice a desire to do the will of God, to read His Word, to pray. And these are things that you can experience directly. But what about those things that you can't feel and experience? And one of those things that you can see, and you may not even be aware of, is that you are united with Christ the moment you believe. This verse says that you are in Christ. The Bible says that Christ is in us, but at the same time that we are in Him. And we actually learn more about this from John 17. We have there the prayer of Jesus in verses 20 and 21. He prays for His disciples, but He also prays for those who will believe through their message. And it says in verse 20, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they may all be one. And listen to this, just as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. So you see, God the Father is in the Son, and the Son is in the Father. And in the same way, all the believers are in the Son and in the Father. So this is one of the glorious things that happens when we trust Christ for salvation. And that's the fact that we become united to Him. And this union is very, very real. But you can't see it. You can't touch it. The question is why? And that's because this is a spiritual union. It happens in the spiritual realm. At the moment of salvation, your immaterial part is united with Christ, so that you can truly say that you are indeed in Christ. And Paul says something similar in Ephesians. He says that God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Have you ever considered this? In a spiritual sense, but in a very, very real sense, you are now, right now, in the heavenly realms, right at this very moment. And that's because you are in Christ. And I want you to listen to this carefully as I close. We started discussing sanctification this morning. How do you become holy? The first step to sanctification, and that's very important, is to realize that you are in Christ. That's the first thing. That's the first thing that you have to remember, the first step in sanctification. You need to realize that you are united to the perfectly holy Son of God. And because of this, the New Testament also says to count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So the question for this morning is, are you ready? And am I ready? Are we ready to count ourselves dead to sin? You have trusted Christ for salvation. You are in Him. You are united with Him. And maybe you haven't thought about this too much until today. But what a wonderful truth this is. We are indeed in Christ. The question is, what will you do? Do you count yourself dead to sin? May God help all of us to live that way, to count ourselves dead to sin, to remember that we are in Christ. And because we are in Christ, We are on the path to sanctification, on the path to the new life. Amen.